Sloan, thanks. Yeah, thanks for chatting to me about I guess an important issue. Well, I know an important issue. Just firstly, you're at the Fjordland Wapiti Foundation. What role do you have there?
Yeah, so I've been involved with the Wapiti Foundation as a volunteer for quite a number of years since we've started this latest management program that we have, which is about 18 years. But I've been paid a junior manager now for the last 18 months. So okay. Been working for 18 years and paid for 18 months.
So. So we'll see what happens in future now when you go over that 18 months. So you're at the Fjordland Wapiti Foundation. I assume you're a hunter.
Yeah, so I was basically one of those people who was born to hunt. We grew up in the rural Southland, and we started off, we used to fight for miles just to chase eels in the creeks and rabbits and hares and possums, and kind of game got bigger as we got older. And it's kind of in the DNA, to be fair.
And where are you based now?
I'm based in Ariti, which is about an hour 20 from Tiana.
What is a wapiti?
Yeah, wapiti is it's an elk. First Nations people call them, which is due to the white nature of the deer, I believe. And in New Zealand, the hunters, we call them wapiti or Fjordland wapiti, but they're basically an elk. They're gifted to us in 1905 by Theodore Roosevelt. They're basically from the Rocky Mountains and a gift from God.
And they're genetically unique, right?
Yeah, they are now, because what has happened is over the years they've basically have interbred with red deer.
Yeah.
You got the purists who don't like that. But what's happened with them is, they live in such vast and such rugged terrain, weather. We've got 8 meters of weather, a rain a year alone. And then we've got the wind, we've got snow. And what's kind of happened with these deer, they've adapted to the environment they live in. And basically, the breed we've got in there at the moment, the crossbreeds or hybrids, as you call them, that's their country. So we call them Fjordland Wapiti now.
Mm, mm. And the foundation, what does the foundation do?
Yeah, so we are, basically, the foundation is unique, or it was unique. We're a group of hunters who solely focus on one species, where historically in New Zealand, we've had groups like NZDA who kind of have the shotgun effect over all species, all hunters, and anything to do with it. But what we've done that was unique to New Zealand at the time was we solely thought, right, these wapiti need a lot of time and energy. So we formed, or before my time, they formed the Wapiti Foundation,
yeah,
solely to deal with the effects those deer have in the environment in Fjordland, and encourage hunting and hunters to enjoy them, really.
And you manage like 200,000 hectares or something massive like that, right?
Yeah, so Fjordland National Park is 12.5 million hectares. We manage 175,000 hectares. So that's if it was flat. But, we go from sea level to 5,000 feet. So from open alpine to dense, thick bush, rainforest. It's quite a people call it Jurassic Park, and that probably is the best way to explain it. Everybody who flies in there for the first time goes, wow, this is Jurassic Park.
Oh, wow. And you manage, obviously, to keep numbers down so they don't have like a massive impact, or like, what is your prime management goal?
Yeah, prime management goal is number one is protecting Fjordland herself. It's kind of a misled hunting story in New Zealand, and that's about protecting the females to breed and so forth. And kind of that's been historically done in New Zealand for years and generations, and it's about getting numbers on the ground. So we've spun that on its head, really.
Yeah.
So what we do is we understand that feeding brings out the breeding.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about so what we do is we talk about getting the numbers down to a level where we can manage them in a protected environment. So what we do is we concentrate on the female deer, and we reduce the overall population. So less girls, less babies, easier to manage, better on the environment, and better for the males, because, you know, Fjordland isn't prime farmland like other surrounding areas in Southland. Fjordland is old, 100-year-old forest, low minerals, low fertility. So it's for the hunters, this the way we manage the area around the conservation values and protecting Fjordland is absolutely a perfect recipe for growing big wapiti heads, or Fjordland wapiti heads, as be the case.
Okay. So, yeah, something recently happened. What happened? Did you wake up one morning and there was a bomb that exploded in the media, or did you get a letter? Like, just for someone who's never heard what Forest and Bird did, please explain.
Yeah, so I guess for international callers, Forest and Bird are a lobby group who lobby to protect flora and fauna in New Zealand. And they kind of have a philosophy around ideology, is that your only acceptable level of introduced species is zero. And that is unachievable. And certainly, you know, if we look at a New Zealand government who's just made recently 1,000 job cuts in the sector, and a lot of that being in the conservation space where people manage their lands. And certainly we can't afford to manage our introduced species properly. So Forest and Bird have taken us to court, or are taking the Department of Conservation and the Wapiti Foundation to court. And if you were to say that we woke up and there was a nuclear bomb that went off, it wasn't quite like that. Somebody's been flicking little arrows at us for 18 years. So those little arrows have just got bigger.
So how big is this? So they've taken you, like, what's kind of the exact thing that they want?
So they want us to restock what we're doing. And, you know, it's a crazy, crazy attack on us. You know, we have this organisation who advocate for zero deer density in New Zealand. We have us on the other side of the fence, who are the most successful deer management group in New Zealand, bar none.
Yeah.
And in fact, we do it better than the government and the Department of Conservation. And then we also have, you know, these things we bolt on. So it's kind of like KFC and add fries to it. We have all this other conservation work we do. We, you know, we do predator control in 5 catchments where we trap stoats and other critters like rats to suppress the numbers down so our native birds can breed. And we have another, we work with some other conservation groups around our native our care. And we run the largest citizen science care project in New Zealand by far. And we work with the Department of Conservation on other projects, like we have the Murchin Mountains, which is basically an area where we had a bird that was thought that was extinct back in the 50s that was rediscovered in there called a Takahe.
Yeah.
It's a ground-based bird. So we do all the alpine deer management in there for them, for the Department of Conservation, as another bolt-on project. We also add deer that we shoot in near the venison is sold in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And that supports our conservation project. So we're a non-profit organisation, and just about every cent we have go back into the park. So, and none of that is taxpayers' money. All that money is from hunters. and yeah. from the work we do as a group to promote. And so, yeah, it's a really crazy story. It's kind of...
So what does their lawsuit say? What do they want?
So the so we have this old old policy in New Zealand called it's called the National Parks Act. And yeah. the National Park Act says that as far as possible, all introduced species should be exterminated as far as possible. So that's the catch, as far as possible. And it's not possible, and it's not financially viable either. If New Zealand had to do it, we'd probably have to stop all our health sector. We'd have to take our money just about from every corner of the of New Zealand to pay for deer management and fielding alone, billions of dollars. So that's what they're challenging. And what we have is, what enables us to work in there under that policy is that we have a community agreement where the Department of Conservation basically sign off a management plan that we have, and that's how we work in there. So they're challenging that as well, the legalities around that. So we're heading to court, and it's just going to waste a shitload of money from Conservation New Zealand, not only from us, and as I say, you know, we have big job redundancies in New Zealand in the government sector, and the Department of Conservation just recently have just made so far 120 people redundant, and I understand that there's going to be major projects, conservation projects that the Department of Conservation undertake around New Zealand will be stopped because of lack of money as well. So it even makes it crazier.
They're saying they want the legality of the agreement between you and DOC checked. They want you to what, cease operations, and they want DOC to start killing those animals, or what does that say?
All of that. You're correct. So DOC openly, so DOC supporting us on this. So they openly say that if we were not doing the work in the Wapiti area, no one else would be. They don't have the money. And an interesting tool that Department of Conservation and the governments use to control deer in New Zealand is called Waro. So I'll touch on Waro, which is quite a good story.
Yeah.
So if you look at the Wapiti area, if you looked at the ranking of importance for the Department of Conservation in New Zealand on work that they would do, we're number 86 on the ranking.
Oh, and wow.
They're probably doing work in the top 12. And the likelihood of any deer control undertaken in the Wapiti area from the Department of Conservation is zero. And if you look at deer management in New Zealand, so we talk about our tool of choice from the Department of Conservation for managing deer in New Zealand, and that's called Waro, which is Wild Animal Control Operations.
Yeah.
When we signed our agreement over 18 years ago and started, and you know, it was something very new and unique. It's like putting man on the moon, really. We had people all around New Zealand tried to stop us because it was just changed, and you know, have people react to change. And at that stage, around New Zealand, there was about 120 concession holders, Waro holders. So that's helicopter companies who were allowed to do deer control in New Zealand. So we had about 120 18 years ago. Here we are now, still that's the tool of choice. We have around about 19 in New Zealand. Only half of those are active.
Yeah.
And if you look at the 120 18 years ago, they all wanted to head to fielding where the was the excitement of hunting that big country, but it was also where the deer numbers were.
Yeah.
Now we would have probably maximum five Waro operators in fielding. So two of those Waro operators will work for us.
Yeah.
The other lot will take one or two deer. But the rest, if they are working, they're subsidized by the Department of Conservation and just doing micromanagement.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you look at Fjord National Park, take the last 20 years and just remember we do 175,000 hectares.
Yeah.
Fjord is 12.5 million.
Yes.
So if you look at per square kilometre, for the first 15 years inside the Wapiti area, we did double the amount of deer per square kilometre than was done outside of it.
Hmm.
Second, the last 5 years, we've tripled that. So we'd take three times as many deer per square kilometres inside that Wapiti area, all paid for by hunters and supporters, at three times as amount has been shot on the outside of the Wapiti area, the other 1 million hectares. So it's a compelling story.
Yeah.
And the other side of that is that, you know, if you look at what we're doing and think about we're doing that work in an area that Department of Conservation or no one else would ever undertake work in that, we also have checks and balances in place that are put on us by the Department of Conservation to ensure that we're doing the right thing, and that's vegetation monitoring.
Yeah.
So we have 20 vegetation plots in Fjord and Alpine to make sure that our numbers that we're taking are meeting the requirements of our agreement, and we have several bush ones as well. But all the other work that gets done out of the Wapiti area of Fjord, no one gets monitored, no one gets checks and balances in place. Mm. So, you know, we have more eyes on us and what we do than anybody else in the country.
So what does your monitoring plot say, that you're being effective?
Yep. So, you know, we're meeting the numbers that were set in the agreement.
Yeah.
So the work we're doing, and, you know, if you look at what's the issue with Waro in New Zealand, that's venison's worth nothing.
Yeah.
And they can't make a living out of it. We're basically, we are supporting what we're doing by venison.
So you're basically saying, they're basically saying Wapiti are destroying kind of the underbrush, and you're saying, well, look, we're actually managing enough so there's equilibrium in the habitat.
Yeah, basically yeah. That's what we're saying. We're saying that the best, you know, you sit down all our biologists in New Zealand and they all will all say that eradication of deer in New Zealand is absolutely can't be done. And the best thing for our environment is management. And management is the word that freaks our green sector out. That's what they hate hearing. They hate hearing management.
Yeah.
And basically, if you sat down, if you had to put all this down to one word, that's it, management.
Do they just want to blanket 1080, or do they want to get tutors in there, or don't you know what they want in the end?
Yeah, and that's the thing really, is that if we left, I know what would happen. It would end up like the rest of Fjord. It would be neglected. We don't have the money. They don't have the money. They don't put feet on the ground. They're a lobby group. They aren't a boots in the mud group like we are. We get shit done.
I always wonder why groups like that, they don't see, you know, there's no gray area, there's no negotiation, there's no balance. It's like a religious fervor, you know, they just have one goal in mind and there's no negotiating about that goal. You said to me yesterday that this is kind of the fight of our life, or the, you know, because it can have consequences for other areas also. Like, what do you envision would happen down the line if they kind of win a case like this?
Yeah, this is the fight. This is not only the Wapiti Foundation's fight, and I really, really want to make that point very, very clear, is that we are being used for them to grandstand. So we are, you know, we're the, if you look at probably with the All Blacks of deer management and hunter led stuff in New Zealand. So where is what everybody else aspires to be like in New Zealand. And other groups will be honest about that. And, you know, you've got the Seeker Foundation popping up and Path Foundation. So they're playing catch up. They're doing wonderful jobs in the area. And so what will happen here is that if the Fjord and Wapiti Foundation lose this, this will be like a dynamo effect around New Zealand. And be no bones about that. We're the prize. Yeah. So if we go, we have tar, we have white tar, we have red deer, we have all other animals in national parks in New Zealand. So she's going to be a cold day or a hot day in hell, I should put it, if we lose this. And, it has huge effects on hunting in New Zealand.
I almost want to say it will have huge effects on fishing also, because next you can say, well, we can, you know, I've seen areas in other areas in the world where they want to get a fish species out. And then they blanket poison a section of a river and then reintroduce those native species. So, I mean, the world is their oyster if they win this.
Well, here's I talked to you before about the National Parks Act and a section called 4.2, which says that all introduced species must be eradicated, rally, rah, rah. But there's also a section after that, unless it's a determination can be made by the New Zealand Conservation Authority. So the Conservation Authority can give a certain species an exemption to be in their national parks.
Mm.
They've only ever done it once in the history of New Zealand, and that's for trout.
Oh, interesting.
Yep, so that can be given and it can be taken away as well. And and again, you know, fishing supporters and that need to really, really understand that the nature of the beast in New Zealand is that this is a fight that they should be involved in as well, and so should every other hunter, because it's a lose this, she's a sad day.
What do we do? What do people do? What can they do?
Yeah, you know, the Wapi Foundation, we're ready for this fight. We've been waiting on this, and there's two ways that we've been planning. So one thing is that for 18 years. All our objectives and all our goals, we make sure that they're met every year. Mm. So first and foremost, we have deer management goals. Every year, we make sure those numbers, boxes are ticked. At conservation projects, we take on every conservation project we can in the field, and then we do it extremely well in others. We look after all these backcountry huts and fjordland, and we do all this other work. So that's about us standing on our pedestal and saying to New Zealand and going, you know, we're a group of hunters, but actually we're conservationists as well. So that's been our pattern we've been following for 18 years, knowing that this day was going to come. So we want to make sure that we actually are relevant, and we are relevant. The second part of that is that, you know, we have heard a special interest that basically we have a national government who's been in power at the moment in New Zealand, and a part of their election promise is that they will push for some heard of special interest, because we can do that under the Game Animal Council legislation.
Yeah.
So that's one area where we're trying to push down. But we've employed the best legal defence that we can get, and along with that and all our other lobbying and marketing, we need money to support. So okay. The best way for people to support us is by money. To be fair, where, you know, this could go into the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, and already we're ticking up pretty fast. And as I say, we know the fight, we know the battle we're up, and certainly we've got the right people involved, but it's going to be a big cost. So we need people to kind of follow us on our Facebook,
yeah,
the Fuel and Wapi Foundation, and also if they went to fwf.net.co, there's a donations page there,
okay,
and
cool.
People can donate for the cause. And the other thing is what's going to be happening with us is over the last few years, we've made a documentary with the NZ Hunter Boys. Me and Willie have done numerous trips in the fjordlands, and we've done a doco on what's happened in that area over the last 100 years and in recent times with us. And that doco is all completed and finished. So we're going to we're going to tour New Zealand probably in June, late June.
Yeah.
And we're going to do a roadshow, which will involve various other things. But the doco will be shown around sites around New Zealand, and that's the other way people can support, get along, see it, because it's going to be a fundraising.
So how do they get on a mailing list for that, or how do they go to a website for that doco?
Yeah, just get on, just keep themselves on social media, and it'll be out there. We're just building the roadshow now, and how we will do that. We'll have various. We'll probably have options in each site, and so forth and so forth. Hunting options and stuff like that. So,
okay, awesome.
Social media, Facebook, FWF, and I'm sure we'll have it out, and it'll be in newspapers and bits and pieces as well.
Okay. What questions are you asking? Like, are there questions that come up in your mind about this whole issue that you want answered, or are there questions that you ask about the future, or is there anything I should ask you that I maybe don't know to ask because I'm not involved in it?
Yep. So I guess if you look at New Zealand and deer, there's a lot of deer around New Zealand at the moment. Far too many deer around New Zealand at the moment, and we've led the story around managing deer numbers in New Zealand. And if you look at the Wapiti Foundation, and you look at Forest and Bird, and you look at hunters in New Zealand, we have an environment that's getting damaged by deer. There's no two ways about that in certain areas, but not all areas. But the question I would ask me is that if I had a wish, what would that be? The wish would be is that finally that if our hunting sector and our green sector in New Zealand, if they would wake up, there's a really good solution there somewhere where we'd all be happy. And I'm afraid I've been fighting for that sweet spot for 20 years. Mm. And we need to really wake up and find it, because it's not good for the deer, it's not good for the environment. So we need to find that sweet spot.
Roy, yeah, thanks. Thanks for talking to me. I appreciate it. And, good luck in the fight. And I'll put things on Instagram and, links to the Nations page. And, good luck with that fight.
Yeah, sounds great.
Good stuff. Have a good day. Thanks.
See ya.
Cheers. Bye.